we are going to go a little further and deeper into this beautiful teaching of Lhotse number 8. We're going to use it in a different way. The supreme good is like water. Water greatly benefits all things and without conflict. It flows through places that people loathe. Thereby, it is close to the way. A good dwelling is on the ground. A good mind is deep. A good gift is kind. A good word is sincere. A good ruler is just. A good worker is able. A good deed is timely. Where there is no conflict, there is no fault. This is very, very important to understand. And most people, as you well know, use logic and reasoning to try to deal with their understanding, to try to come to a place of understanding. They have no way of moving beyond their life and what they think is going on in that life. People are not realized. They are convoluted. They live in fragments. Fragments of this, that, and the other. Fragments of information given to them. This is how religion is built. This is oftentimes, hate to say, this is how science is done. We have a little fragment of information here and a little bit there. And then we build up theories. In religion, they build up theologies and philosophies. And they're all based on fragments of information, but never the truth. What does it mean to become realized? It is to be able to discern. It is to be conscious. It is to recognize beyond the doubts of the mind and the logic and reasoning of our thinking. It is to come to a place within ourselves as a sentient soul. We become fully aware. Beyond the facts of life, we clearly recognize what is going on, not with our mind, but with the totality of our being. To be totally realized is to come to the place where we no longer believe in our thoughts. We do not let them dictate to us because they belong to our body and emotionality. And when one is living in that kind of degradation, one cannot understand the beauty and the meaning, the significance of life at all. A good dwelling is on the ground, Lhotse says. In other words, it's grounded. A good mind is deep. How deep can our mind be when we are complicated with theories and ideals and philosophies and fragments? This is why it is hard to understand the Tao. This is why it is hard to understand why be in a spiritual practice at all. It is a very difficult thing for the average person with a pedestrian mindset to understand. They are living from the fragments of what they can understand in their intellectual acuity, which they inherited. It isn't even their own. Just think, no thought you and I have is ours. It is an assumption based on presumption. And we don't really understand what it's about at all. We just assume we do. Based on the small smattering of what we think of as information or proof. We are fragmented. The supreme good, as Lhotse said, is like water. Water greatly benefits all things without conflict. It flows through places that people loathe. Thereby, it is close to the way. Yes, it is in all the things, even the things we hate. There is goodness in everything, but we have a hard time recognizing it because of the way we think and how we think. There's an old story about the three blind men and the elephant, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Bhagwan used to talk about it all the time, and it is true. I have found it to be very, very true. Six blind medical students sat by the gate of a great city as an elephant was led slowly past. Inspired by scientific curiosity, of course, and the degree of arrogance that these men had due to the fact of their knowledge, these six blind students rushed towards the elephant, a great beast, to determine the nature of his being. The first man found his hands fall on the elephant's tusks. "Ah," he said, "this creature is a thing of bones. They protrude out through his skin." Later on, he became a doctor of bones, skin, tissue, and he had developed his own ideal of what the elephant was and how the elephant could benefit from his science. At the same time, the second blind medical student seized the elephant's trunk and identified it as, "This is the function of a nose. Surely this is the most important part of this animal." And of course, he became an ear, nose, and throat doctor. The third man chanced upon the elephant's great flapping ear and came to a similar conclusion that his ear was everything. So he became an ear doctor. There was a fourth. He put his hand on the chest and abdomen of the elephant. He could feel the enormity of it. "Nothing would be more important," he said, "than to understand his within." He became an internist. Another blind man came along and said, "Oh, it would appear that after touching this animal, that he has too big an ear, too big a nose. It must be removed." And he became a surgeon. But the last was very interesting. He was a man realized. He touched the animal not with his hands, but with his awareness. He came to feel the form of the animal beyond its flesh and bone. He said, This animal is amazing. He lives beyond the slavery of his chains. This animal is of great strength. This animal cannot be understood through biology or psychology," he said. "He must be taken in total." This man became a teacher of the way. Well, the other students were disgusted with him and his impracticality, and they turned their back upon him. They did not see him as a visionary and made fun of him. They all quarreled about whether or not the structure of the animal was important. But the one who became an avatar, he looked at the animal not through his eyes because he was blind. He listened internally. And rather than coming to conclusions, he merely took in the whole being. And the elephant was no longer just an elephant to him. The elephant was a beingness, a beauty. This man was realized. He did not let the contrariness of his knowledge to deter him from the significance of the animal itself. He did not want to understand its form. He wanted to understand his being, the being of the animal itself. So what is it to be realized? It is to no longer assume that any form of form is the last conclusion you can come up with about anything in our lives. To be able to see the bigger picture, one must close their eyes. They must become silent. This is not something that intrigues the average person. We are intrigued only by what our mind presents. And we don't even know if that's true or not, whether it's even a fact or not. You can dilly-dally around with the details of your skin, your form, and you will miss the whole beauty of what it is to have a life. Life is something that is occurring. It's an occurrence. It is not something that comes from the fragments of knowledge that we may have about this part of the world or that part of the world. We have to take in the whole world and the universe into one. In doing that, we find the supreme goodness of everything that is truly important in this lifetime. A good dwelling is on the ground, meaning it is founded in something that is beyond the precepts and concepts of a Gregory Edward Penn. A good mind is deep. It goes beyond the surface, beyond the form. And once that occurs, a good gift then becomes kind. A good word becomes sincere. A good ruler is just. A good worker is able. A good deed is timely. When we start to see the development of ourselves, do we look at the knowledge we can bear through memory? Most of my students will say that they can't remember anything that I teach because it doesn't seem relevant to them what I am teaching. To become realized, you have to be able to step back. Back from the form, back from the skin, back from what the mind has constituted as absolute. You have to step back. Who can explain their creativity? It is illogical. Most people miss their entire life because they have no ability, no willingness to be creative. And when they are, they assume they did it. I have friends and students who are very beautiful, beautiful artists. But they criticize their art. And often in that criticism, they remove themselves from the art itself. They're embarrassed by what they think, say, and do. They look at themselves as, well, incapable, undeserving of this art. But nevertheless, it is there. Now listen, you don't have to be perfect to be loved. Your art is in forgiveness. I love the ending of number 8. Where there is no conflict, there is no fault. Find out what your conflict is. Explore it. What is it that you are so conflicted about? What you think you deserve? What you want to believe about yourself? When you are realized, you understand beyond the intellect. You live by not thought, but by impression. Your thoughts mean nothing, but you gain an impression, the ability to perceive beyond the concepts of good and bad, right and wrong. To be realized is to have that direct experience that is beyond thinking. It is never about thinking. It is about what is consciousness, what is important, what relates to your spirit. What relates to love, because it is love that matters, not information, not fragmented information that we put together and try to make a conclusion of. It has nothing to do with that. When you are done with your conflict, you will be self-realized. When you are done with your conflict, and when you discover what your conflict is, that is when you will start to really understand the nature of your own life and the beauty thereof. This takes practice. That's why we call it a practice. Where there is no conflict, there is no fault. And you have to ask yourself, what is my conflict? What is it that I hold to an absolute about myself? Your human self is going to be filled with flaws. That's just the way it is. But when you're allowed to understand that these flaws are not the final word on you, the final conclusion. When you start to understand the meaning of what it is to let love live you, rather than you find a love that fits your conclusions, that is when something of the other shore begins to present itself to you. And you will find an innate sense of goodness, what Lhotse calls supreme good, and you will find it flows within you. This is not something that you have to conjure up and invent. It is something that lives deep inside you. You are the goodness that is your authentic nature. To realize this, to become realized in this, is to change the momentum and direction of your entire life. Let's meditate together. Lao Tzu said, "The great way is abundant on all sides. Everything comes from it, and no sentient being is denied its blessing. It feeds and clothes everyone. Trust in this nature." And let's meditate together on that trust. Let love.